Amen. It's been a good service already.
Amen.
The only way we can go to the house and say we've had church this morning.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. But to me, it wouldn't be church without some good preaching.
Right.
Amen. Without the Word. The Bible said that Paul was talking to the people over there that he wanted the Lord. He said, I've begotten you by the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. And that's his food for our soul. The Word of God is just as important to our body, if not more so, as the carnal food is.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
A lot of us are spiritually starved. We're fasting. Amen. On the spiritual food.
Yeah.
Amen. I know I probably need to be fasting on physical food a lot more than I am, but that's another story. So, need to get in the Word, need to stay in the Word, because it's the one thing that's going to stand when the world's on fire.
Yeah, amen.
It's God's Word. Amen. Yeah. I enjoyed the song that's been sung this morning, being blessed. Amen. And be kind of thinking about that relating to the scripture that the Lord put on my heart that I studied on yesterday. And Jerry just kind of gave me this yesterday, told me about preaching. So I'm glad he did, because it's supposed to be instant in season and out of season. And I knew I was going to have to preach today. I didn't know if it was going to be morning or evening, but I knew I was going to have to, because I had been here a while. And also because the Lord had been dealing with me on a message yesterday. And I'm glad the Lord still shows that He works with you. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, been going through a little dry spell here, not been preaching a whole lot, been singing a little bit. But as a preacher, you know, sometimes you go through dry spells. Amen. As Christians, we all go through dry spells. And, the important thing is to hold fast unto your faith. Amen. As we seen yesterday, we had a big downpour of rain, and you know, there'll be showers of blessing come our way if we'll just hold on to what thus saith the Lord. The Bible said the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. And sometimes when you go a while without using the gift and the calling that God has given you, the devil tribe, amen, to try to say that, well, God's done with you in that area, or He no longer needs you in that area. Amen. But let me tell you something. God said He's faithful to call with you, who will also do that title which He's put in you. Amen. So yesterday was confirmation to me. Amen. And even to the devil. Amen. That God has still got something. Amen. For me to do. Amen. Behind the pulpit. Amen. So I invite you, if you got your Bibles, let me turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. We're going to go in the old Bible. Amen. And if you look at Psalms and Job, you turn back a few pages, you'll end up in Nehemiah. Not many things are preached about it, but it is one of the most fascinating books of the Bible. Amen. A lot of people think about Esther right about here, how fascinating it is. But amen, Nehemiah shows some great character in this man who was, amen, he had a desire in his heart, amen, to rebuild the wall that was torn down in the old ages. Amen. And some of you may know the story, probably all of you do, but for a while there, Israel was in captivity by the Babylonians. They had come in and had taken their land. They'd come in and taken all the people, amen, out of Israel. And Jeremiah the prophet had prophesied this back in Jeremiah 25, that they'd be captive in a land that they knew not for 70 years, amen, because they disobeyed the Lord as many times as they did. God had a place for them reserved, and it was in a foreign land. They would be taken out of their homeland and taken to a foreign land over where the Chaldees and the Babylonians would dwell. And God gave them a promise. He said, if you go willingly with the Chaldeans, with the army that will come to take you away, amen, then you'll be able to return to this land. I'll see to it that you'll return to this land. But if you go against this, because God had ordained this, amen, it was to get them back on fire and back on good terms with Him.
Right, yeah. Bless my Lord.
Pray for me this morning. My allergies skipped to me.
Bless my Lord. Bless my Lord.
But He had told me. He said, I'm going to take you to a land, and my will will just be done.
Bless the Lord.
Amen. And He told him He's going to go over there. Amen. And for 70 years, they'd be captive.
Yeah.
He told him He's going to give them a promise. If they would willingly go, that they'd return into their homeland. God would see to it.
Yeah.
That they'd return to their homeland.
Right.
Thank you.
Amen.
But if they didn't willingly go, they'd be destroyed.
Yeah.
And we find that happening. We find that happening in the Bible. Nehemiah here happens after that captivity has been over with for a few years. And we find that when they had went, the Babylonians had went to the Jerusalem and besieged the city, they had set the whole city on fire. They had tore down the walls, they tore down the gates, they had besieged the whole city till there was really nothing left to be inhabited. And here we find in the beginning of Nehemiah that he is a cupbearer for the king. He's in a high position. And it's on his heart. He sees that the city besieged and now they're back in the land, but there's nothing to show for it. And he is torn to pieces in his heart over the city that once was their home. And he has a desire to rebuild the city, rebuild the wall.
Bless the Lord.
That wall is a symbol of fortress. That wall is a symbol of protection. And when the Babylonians came in, they destroyed that symbol and that strength. And Nehemiah in his heart wanted to rebuild the wall. Amen. And it took them only 52 days to rebuild this wall. That was a miracle in itself. Can you imagine with the limited tools they had building these things? 52 days is all it took. But now we go to Nehemiah chapter 8, and here's where we pick up. This is after they had found. You'll see a bunch of names if you look probably a page over. You'll see a bunch of names listed. And those are the people that were, amen, that went captivity and came back out. If I'm reading the Bible right, if I'm not mistaken, it tells about that chapter 7. But it's the names of the people that were in captivity. Amen. And that's all the names of them. And I think that's the ones that came out and were joining them here after they built the wall. But Nehemiah chapter 8. Let's start at the very first verse. I'm going to read the whole chapter and then we'll get into the message. Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. This is a significant day we're about to get into. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And it talks about a bunch of different names. I'm not going to go through all them. Go down to verse 5. It says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. He was on this pulpit of wood, so he was on a platform, much like I am now. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. You ever wonder why they stand up in church sometimes when they read the Bible? Here's an example of that. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered him, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And all these names here were listed once again, the same ones that was just listed earlier. All these people caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Verse 8, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense. In other words, they expounded the meaning of the words of the law and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshathah, or the governor, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, all of them at once, said unto the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for they all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto your Lord, our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Now we said earlier that this was the 15th day, let me go back here, the first day of the seventh month. That seventh month is very significant because it's the portion, the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. And we're about to read here the rest of this chapter a part of what that means. In verse 13, and on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths. That's the tabernacles we're referring to. The Feast of Tabernacles. Dwell in booths in the feasts of the seventh month. And that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the street of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come out again, that were come again out of captivity, made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day, had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. Now this is a really intriguing chapter, all the stuff that's going on in here. A lot of this is historical. You have to realize that as they were in the captivity, they weren't allowed to observe their feasts. This was a different culture, a different religion altogether. It was a pagan religion. We read about some of that in the book of Daniel, where we hear about Nebuchadnezzar and all the false gods and different things. Nebuchadnezzar wanted a false image of himself so that people would bow down and worship whenever they heard the music and the psaltery. And that's where we get Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego from. They didn't bow down, and they was about to be punished, to be thrown into the burning fiery furnace, one that was heated 7 times hotter than any other heat that was on the earth. And we find there that they refused to do so. They refused to bow, and they said, you know, O King, our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. But if not, we will still not bow. I preached a message one time about that, something I'd seen before, and I'd never seen it before I'd mentioned it. And that was the fact that they had hope in God, not in the fact that He would deliver them only there, but they had a promise that they'd be brought back to their homeland. We had just said earlier that God had told them that if they went willingly with the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, that God would bring them back to their promised land. They had that hope when they were standing before the king, that they was going to be able to see Jerusalem one more time. Amen. God had something for them, and they had belief, and they had a hope that they was going to see it again. And because they trusted God and His promise and His word, they was delivered from the fiery furnace. They was in there in the midst of it. They didn't burn. Amen. They didn't have the smell of smoke on them. The only thing that burned was the ropes that held them.
Right.
And when Nebuchadnezzar looked down, he said, lo, I behold a fourth man walking in there with him. One like unto the Son of God. Folks, amen, you see the Son of God, you know who it is. Mm-hmm. Paul knew who Jesus was.
Right.
Amen, when he dropped him down there on the ground with that blinding light in the midst of the road to Damascus, Paul knew who addressed him. He said, who art thou, Lord? Paul knew who he was talking to. There was no mistake about it. But I want you to notice here, this chapter here talks about how the people were disheartened. They were discouraged when they heard the book of the law. They heard the law read. Why were they discouraged? Well, maybe not discouraged. It doesn't say that, but they wept. Now, why did they do that? If you think about it, it could be a few different reasons. One of them that I think of is the fact that they had been in the foreign land so long that they hadn't heard somebody get up behind a pulpit of wood, get up behind the sacred desk, and preach the word of the law to them, and they had pined for that. There's a psalm in the Bible that talks about how they were pining for the love that they used to have. I can't remember exactly how it's quoted, but it talks about how they were just distressed at having to be taken away to a foreign land.
Yeah.
And not able to observe the ordinances that they had before. Not able to have the Feast of Tabernacles, have the Feast of Trumpets, and all these other feasts. By the way, you can find out about more of those if you go to Leviticus chapter 23. It talks about those boughs of the branches that they were supposed to pile together to make booths or little tabernacles. You might consider that today to be what we would call a brush arbor. Get a bunch of brush and pile it up and people go huddling under that. That's the booths that they dwelled in. But we find that they were weeping because they heard the words of the law. Because they come back from captivity and they had been so far away from the book of the law and not able to partake in it that it broke their heart. But I want you to notice what Ezra, the priest, and Nehemiah, the Tishrite, the governor, and the rest of the Levites proclaimed to the people. And in verse 10, he said, "Go thy way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Amen? The joy of the Lord was their strength. They had a reason to rejoice because they had been brought back into the land that God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God was showing that He's still in charge. He was showing that He was still able, amen, to fulfill this promise. Everything in the world seemed to come against them to take them out of the land. Upon the Philistines, even today in modern day times, they're arguing over there in the Middle East for all the land that belongs to Israel. God showed Himself to be in charge. He showed Himself to be a fulfiller of His word. Amen. And one day after a while, He's going to come back and He's going to establish His rule and reign upon this earth for 1,000 years. And there's going to be no question about who the land belongs to. Amen. Because God has already set up the boundaries from the beginning.
Right.
He told them, you need to be joyful. Don't weep at the words of the law. Get up and rejoice because God has brought you back into the land and we're going to restore the wall and everything's going to be just fine.
Right.
And I want you to notice something. They did something they hadn't done since the days of Joshua. And that's many books over. We got Chronicles, we got Samuel, we got Kings. History upon history, years, hundreds of years have happened since they had done this act. And it is back in verse 13, the second day, they were gathered together. And in verse 14, it said, they found written in the law. Well, it's amazing what you can find in God's Word if you go look it. They found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. Well, how coincidental there. It was the seventh month. They found that God wanted them to do something on that period of time, on that timetable in history. And that was to dwell in booths. That was to perform the things that He had told them to perform. This was the very last feast that they were to observe. This was a feast where they rejoiced. This is a feast where they celebrated because God had brought them through all the different things of Egypt. He brought them out of Egypt and brought them through the books of Exodus all the way through Deuteronomy to the Promised Land. They conquered it in the book of Joshua. And not ever since that day, they had not performed this act. The act of dwelling in booths, the Feast of Tabernacles. But I want you to notice when it was done, when they had done what God had commanded, and if I had a point to give you this morning, this would be it right here. When they had done what God told them to, the joy appeared. He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't be sad, don't weep, but do what God has told you to do for this time period, this season. And the joy is yours. Where does that appear? Verse 17. All the congregation of them that were come again out of captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. The joy appeared when they had done the work of the Lord. When they had done what God had told them to do. Verse 18, also day by day, from the first day until the last day. He's talking about the feast days. The first day all the way to the seventh and eighth days. He read in the book of the law of God. Every day they got out there and Ezra got on that pulpit of wood and he began to read and they stood up and they listened to what God had to tell them. Friends, it's only when you listen to what God has to say that you know what to do. The only when we hear what God has to say. The Bible says, him that hath an ear, let him hear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sunday after Sunday we come to church and we got other things on our mind, Brother Ron. We got wondering how the bills are going to be paid. We're going to worry about what the doctor says about so-and-so situation. We come into the house of the Lord burdened. But God said, don't weep. Don't be discouraged, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hey, it's high time we come to church. Like Brother Ron says, with a smile on our face. Being able to know that God has brought us through something. That nobody else could bring us through. It's in them old songs we sing, Amazing Grace. That third verse is my favorite one. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I've already come.
Yeah.
His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on.
Yeah.
Amen. That's so much to thank you for, a song that I sung last night. It says, I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for He's been so good to me. When I think of what He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. Amen. When the Israelites could go back and think about where God had brought them from, got them out of bondage 400 plus years in Egypt. They were in bondage. Got them out of there, took them straight through the Red Sea on dry ground, helped them to overcome all the other nations to claim the promise that was theirs. Amen. Ever since God made the covenant with Abraham, when God brought them from there, when He helped them with the battles that they went through after that, amen, and when He got them out of captivity from the Babylonians, there's so many things that Israel could look back on and say, God has been faithful, and He's brought me through a lot of stuff in life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm here today because God has brought me through this far. We have reason to be joy.
Right.
To be joyful in church. We have reason when we come through them doors.
Yeah.
Say, God, it's another beautiful day.
Right.
Oh, God, look what You've done for me. And when you go to the house of God and you listen to His Word day by day, like we just heard.
Yeah.
Amen. You take it home with you and you don't leave it on the pew, and you read it and you open it day by day. And you make this Christian walk day by day. One day, it'll be time to go home. Amen.
Right, amen.
We can lay our cross down and trade it for a crown. Amen. And the Word of God will be in that land, that place.
Yeah.
Amen. And it'll be just as close to us as if we were breathing.
Yeah.
We need to be joyful.
Amen.
In God's presence. And the joy will come if we obey the Lord. Amen. Just like they did. It's not that we have to make booths. We don't have to go out here and find branches and dwell in those for 7 days. No, it ain't nothing to do about that.
Lord.
It's about obedience to God.
Amen.
He may have you do something different than what He has so-and-so do.
Yeah.
He's called me to preach. He's called me to sing.
Yeah.
He might have a different call upon your life. Maybe you're going through life and you wonder, man, I just ain't been happy, I ain't been joyful, and I don't know what it is. I just feel down in the dumps. Have you been listening for the voice of the Lord? Or has everything else come against you and got your attention off God?
Yeah.
Elijah was in the cave, amen, and he was running from Jezebel. He was scared to death for his life, and God appeared to him and He said, Elijah, what doest thou here?
Yeah.
You're supposed to be out there on the field. And that came a great earthquake. God was not in an earthquake. It just came a big fire, and God wasn't in the fire. Came a great wind, and God wasn't in the wind. But then there came a still, small voice.
Yeah.
Almost like somebody just tapping on your shoulder, trying to get you teaching.
Right.
And you can't feel it because you're worried about all the other stuff going on. It's time we get back in the book. I'm talking to myself now. It's time we get back to the book. It's time we get to where we love this Word. Jeremiah was commanded to eat the scroll, and he ate it. And I believe it said that it was sweet to his taste. Amen. We need to desire the Word as food, because that's what's going to make us happy in this world. Amen. It's not in the news. It's not in the newspapers. It's not what the Dow Jones says or what Wall Street says. It's not what's going on in the White House or the UN. Amen. It's what thus saith the Lord that's going to determine our happiness, our joy, unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
I'll ask you to stand today. And you may have something on your heart and your mind that you just can't get rid of.
Yes, bless the Lord.
Something that you just can't shake. Maybe God's giving you something through this message today. I don't know. All I know is I was supposed to preach it this morning. Don't know why. I'm not going to ask for a song. God don't want a song this morning.
Bless the Lord.
Let that still, small voice speak to you.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Search your heart.
Amen.
Bless the Lord.
Ask yourself, am I where God wants me to be? Have I been struggling with something that nobody else is able to help? Not the doctors, not the psychiatrists, not anybody, but not any of my friends. They don't understand what I'm going through.
Amen.
You know what? God understands.
Right.
He sent His Son to be a high priest who is able to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities.
Amen.
He went through it just like me and you did.
Right.
And if you don't have the joy, you know, Psalmist David prayed, God restore unto me
Amen.
The joy of thy salvation.
Amen.
Maybe you haven't had joy in a long time. Maybe you can find it here today.
Right.
Maybe you come and give it to God and say, God, if there's something you want me to do that I'm just not picking up on, make it clear to me.
Right.
Because it was only after they performed what God had told them to do that was obedient to the words of the law.
Right.
For us, obedient to the Word of God, yeah. That the gladness, not just regular gladness. You know what joy unspeakable in the Old Testament is? Great gladness.
Yeah. Amen.
Overabundance of joy.
Amen.
And that came after they had done the work of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not going to tarry much longer if nobody comes. That's between you and the Lord.
Bless
but you
Lord.
Have the opportunity here this morning.
Amen.
If you would, but step out
Thank
and make
you.
That decision. Today I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to be happy
you, Lord.
In the Lord. Why? Because Bless we have a right as a Christian
yeah.
to have joy. Amen. Jesus came that our joy may be full. I come Bless that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly, he says. Are you living the abundant life today?
Thank you, Lord.
I'm not talking about abundant riches. That's the things of the world. I'm talking about abundant joy,
Bless
abundant
Lord.
Peace, the fruits of the Spirit, okay. joy, peace, Thank love, you. Kindness.
Blessed heaven.
Are all those things present yeah. in your life with God?
Blessed Lord. Okay.